Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Wednesday, August 10th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we wake up this morning and the Guardians are tied for first place in the American League Central Division. A 5-2 victory over the Tigers in the opener of their three-game series last night. Meanwhile, out on the West Coast, after last night's game, the Dodgers went ahead and took care of the Twins. The Twins and Guardians now have identical records, at what, 56 and 52?
57 and 52.
57 and 52. That's even better. Wow. Did you think at any point this year that we would be sitting here, almost midway through August saying that the Guardians were in first place and have a real shot now at, a division title?
I did not, Joe. I think I predicted them to win like 77, 78 games. I thought they would hang around a little bit, but I did not foresee this.
Last night, again, Shane Bieber comes out, now has strung together, what, three consecutive really strong outings for him. It's three straight victories for the Guardians, where their starting pitcher went deep into a game, went scoreless in a game. I think 21 consecutive scoreless innings now for Guardian starting pitchers. It's got all the makings of, and the formula is in the right place, because when the starting pitchers go deep in games, when the bullpen doesn't have to overwork itself, and when the offense comes through with some late runs there, like they did in the eighth inning, thanks to an Oscar Gonzalez two-run double, that's pretty much going to plan for this team and the way that Terry Francona thinks that this team has to win.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. You know, they're getting the starting pitching now. And, they're starting Aaron Civale tonight. So, you know, I don't know if they can keep passing the baton along. You know, Savali's coming off the injured list. So we'll have to see how he does. But Quantrill, McKenzie and Bieber just lights out in the last three times out. Like you said, 21 scoreless innings, 20 strikeouts, three walks, 3-0 in that stretch. Just really encouraging. And offensively, like you said, they came, you know, it was 2-0 in a round of the seventh inning. Bieber pitches out of a jam. And then in the eighth inning, they had three runs. And, Oscar Gonzalez comes in through with a big two-run double. And, the top of that lineup is just dynamite right now, Joe. Kwan and Rosario are kind of just taking over.
Yeah, it's really special to see what both Kwan and Rosario are able to do. Again, we're seeing out of Kwan as a rookie coming out there and, you know, two hits a night almost and getting on base. Two to three times. I think he's leading all of baseball in hits since the All-Star break. It's been really remarkable to watch the way that he's gone out there. And after going through maybe about a month worth of a down period after his hot start, he's really recaptured everything that he was doing, right in the first month of the season. And he's just been lights out. But I want to talk about Rosario, and we were talking about him before we started recording here. Rosario to me is really the story of this season, so far, other than Jose Ramirez and, you know, just the way that he's carried himself since signing that contract. But, that sort of leads me into where I'm going with, Rosario here. Three hits again last night for Amed Rosario. That's his 13th game with at least three hits. For this ball club. Last year he had what You said he had 14 hit 14. Games like that. And that was with him, you know, slumping in the first, you know, maybe month or so of the season and not really knowing, you know, where he's playing. But, you know, since then, you know, he really took off and he's batting 290. He's got a 741 OPS, just doing everything right. And Tito even mentioned after the game, it's not just the three hits in the ball game. It's the running the bases. It's the presence out there that he's also giving you. When do we start talking about not just this backlog of young prospects that they've got and guys that they're trying to get into different positions and all that? When do we start talking about giving Amed Rosario a contract?
Yeah, that's a great point, Joe. And it's really a case for keeping Rosario. You know, obviously the Guardians know what they have in him because they didn't trade him at the deadline. You know, there was a lot of speculation that he would get moved. He is playing better than any young shortstop you could put in there. Arias, Rocchio, any of the prospects we've heard of and we've been writing of about for 3 or 4 or 5 years. You know, that's if you put those guys in there, that's a learning curve of what, 2-3 years that just to get to what Rosario is giving you right now. And it's not like he's 30 or 35 years old. This guy's what, 26, 27? He's got 2 years of control left. You know, he's an ideal guy for an extension.
Yeah, buy up the final 2 years of his arbitration, give him an option year after that, or maybe more. Extend him and give him the confidence and the security that you sort of gave him last year when you moved him, you know, from that outfield experiment, and you just said, here, you're our shortstop, play there, and you saw him take off. And this year you did the same thing. You move him there and you tell him, hey, you're our guy, you're going to play there every day. And once he's got that contract in his pocket, I'm betting you're going to watch him take off and be even better. At one time, this guy was the number one overall prospect, according to, I believe Keith Law had him as the number one overall prospect in the Mets organization. This isn't unexpected. This is what this guy was destined to be. He's now producing at a high level. Defensively, he's not killing you. I really think that if you give Amed Rosario a contract extension, you take care of just it gives you not having to worry about, like you said, that left side of the infield is pretty solid and locked up. And then you've got Andrés Giménez playing all-star gold glove second base. So right there, you're in good shape going forward.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I guess at the start of the year, even the start of last season, Giménez was a starting shortstop. You know, and the buzz was this year that he would eventually replace Rosario at shortstop. But now, and every time you hear the Guardians talk about Rosario, especially Francona, he's saying, well, you know, Mike Sarbaugh, the infield coach, keeps telling me this guy's going to be a gold glove second baseman. He doesn't say shortstop. He says second baseman. So the Guardians might have the middle of their middle infielders for the next, if they sign, Rosario, for the next 4 or 5 years. Because Giménez isn't going anywhere. He's still a young guy.
Right. He's not even arbitration eligible yet. So he's got at least one more year before he's arbitration eligible. I got to, you know, just putting this out there, and because I haven't heard any talk about this. I haven't heard anything organizationally about, you know, what they want to do with Rosario. And we know that they've got a load of prospects coming at some point. You've got Rocchio, Tania, Arias, all those guys playing shortstop. You know, maybe you start working those guys into like trade conversations and looking at teams that have, you know, maybe older guys at short that, you know, they want at least a prospect coming. And there's a million things you could do with this, but I just think, like you said, you know what you have in Rosario. You don't know what you have as far as Arias or Rocchio or any of those guys coming up. You know what they project as, but do they project right now better than a 297 average and a guy that, you know, has a, you know, occasional power, and you're, you're still waiting to see, like you said, 26 years old. You're still waiting to see if he becomes a 20 to 25 home run year guy. It's still an entirely possible thing.
Yeah. And just, you know, I thought, Francona is such a believer in chemistry, and, you know, what he said last night is that Rosario is in the middle of so many good things that we're doing right now, that this team is doing right now, that, you know, he checks that box too. You know, and he always plays hard. He, you know, like we've said many, many times, him and Ramirez kind of set the example for this young team, you know, by running hard and, you know, trying to stretch a single into a double, you know, really pushing the envelope on the bases. And, you know, if you're looking for an example, if you're looking for a leader, you know, a guy that, you know, doesn't say a whole lot, but just leads by example, well, you know, Rosario's playing shortstop.
I guess give me one reason. I've got mine. Give me one reason why you wouldn't extend a guy like Amed Rosario right now and pull the trigger on something like that.
Well, you know, if you give it depends the length of the deal. You know, to me, does you know, he seems to play with a chip on his shoulder. You know, he seems to really play hungry to me. He gets one hit. He gets two hits. He wants three. He wants four hits every game. He runs the bases like, you know, the IRS is after him. He just, you know, he never slows down. And does a multi-year deal, you know, take away that hunger? That would be the only thing that would worry me.
Yeah, I think as I said before, you know, I think it's the opposite. I think the security and the comfort in his back pocket might be, you know, more productive to him than any sort of, you know, lack of motivation or sit back and rest on your laurels type thing. To me, the only reason that you wouldn't be giving him an extension right now is he's not Francisco Lindor. He's not, you know, that with Francisco Lindor, you thought you have your cornerstone shortstop, you know, face of the franchise guy that you plug in, you give him his contract and that's your guy. That's the only reason I could see them, even having for not extending him right now. It just makes a lot of sense. And, you know, maybe if we keep talking about it and keep writing about it and keep putting it out there, that maybe somebody in the front office will catch wind of it and we'll see Amed Rosario get locked up for the next couple of years. But we know that that's exactly how things work around here, right? Right, Lindsay?
Well, you know, they do talk extension. We don't know if they've talked extension with Rosario. I would imagine, you know, he would be more than willing to listen, I would think. Yeah. You know, if the money is right. And, you know, I don't know depending on the term, you know, that's the thing, the length. I mean, right. If he would take a three-year deal, you know, what I mean, that's pretty – that seems like a win-win for both sides of the, you know, both sides of the negotiations.
And it would definitely be, you know, an at or below, especially with this club, it would be an at or below market type deal right now. But it would be one that, you know, it would be security. And for sure, that's something that appeals to these guys. I mean, you talk about things that haven't happened. He's been relatively healthy. He's been out there every day. Can't say the same about the White Sox, Tim Anderson. We found out yesterday, 4 to 6 weeks, he'll be out. This on top of Alex Kirilloff for the Twins the other day, undergoing wrist surgery. So all of the other contenders for the AL Central crown are suffering injuries and having their own issues to deal with. How does not having Tim Anderson to contend with change things between the Guardians and the White Sox?
Well, I think it definitely hurts the White Sox. I don't know how it affects the season series, but it would have to have an impact somehow between the two teams. You know, Lance Lynn told reporters it's a huge blow to lose Anderson. He's got a strained ligament in his left middle finger. And he's got to have surgery on that. He's going to be out at least 4 to 6 weeks. So, you know, he's their leadoff hitter, starting shortstop for the American League All-Star team, leading the White Sox with a .301 batting average. Big, big loss. And they really don't have a guy to replace him. It doesn't sound like Lurie Garcia might move over there, a utility guy. you know, that plays all over. He might play shortstop, but, you know, they don't have an everyday guy to, at least I don't know, unless they have someone lurking in the minors that, that can come up and help him. But that's a big, big blow, Joe. That's like, I don't know if it's akin to losing Ramirez, Jose Ramirez, but it's pretty darn close.
Well, and he bats,
comparable injury.
He bats at the top of the order as well, so you also lose your leadoff guy.
Yeah.
And he kills the Guardians every time he faces them. So, yeah, I mean, defensively, he was more of a gift giver than a gift taker this year. He certainly had a few rough games in Cleveland, but yeah, not having your all-star starting shortstop is going to change things for the White Sox moving forward. They've been decimated by the injury bug, and it's something that really to this point hasn't hurt Cleveland yet. It still remains to be seen, but maybe just with all these young guys, with all these rookies, they just don't know how to get injured yet. So we'll see moving forward. Heading into the weekend, we found out yesterday that James Karinchak is the only player on the Guardians roster who will not be permitted into Canada when the team heads to Toronto. What's the latest on that situation?
Yeah, no surprise there, Joe. We had a pretty good feel for Karinchak last year about his stand on the COVID-19 vaccination. You know, he was an anti-vaxxer, and he hasn't changed. So the unfortunate thing is, Joe, he's pitching great. I mean, he hasn't allowed a run in his last 11 appearances. He had a scoreless inning last night. You could really use a guy like that in the eighth inning against, you know, that potent Toronto lineup. And so, you know, just, you know, I guess if you're a Guardians fan, you're glad there's only one guy. It's not like, well, Kansas City had 10 guys they had to put on the restricted list that weren't vaccinated. So, the organization has done a pretty good job, you know, making their case about being vaccinated. So they go up, but Friday they open a 3-game series in Toronto without Karinchak, and you know he is one of their hottest relievers right now.
Yeah, you mentioned the Royals having 10 guys on that list ineligible. They were put on the inactive list, the restricted list. Didn't get paid for those games that their team was in Toronto. One of those guys was Whit Merrifield, and now Whit Merrifield was traded to Toronto and is playing in Toronto for the Blue Jays. So, after softening his stance on the vaccine and taking the shot and getting vaccinated, it just leads me to believe that maybe it's not a moral decision that was being made. It was more of a political stance or maybe it's just window dressing. Who knows? I'm not going to sit here and call Karinchak an anti-vaxxer. I don't know that for sure, but I do know that looking at his social media, it would tend to lean a little more towards the policies and the memes and things that have been shared by folks who support that sort of philosophy. It's unfortunate. You're right, because he is hot. What, 8 pitch inning last night to get through the seventh,
the eighth inning. The eighth inning, I'm pretty sure.
It was the eighth inning, because then they brought in Morgan, and we have to talk about Eli Morgan here. We don't necessarily want to talk about Eli Morgan this way, but a couple of runs last night, loaded the bases. He got himself into a big old mess and almost got out of it, almost pitched his way out of it without giving up a run. But Eli came in 2 back-to-back singles to lead off the inning. And Tito says that right now his fastball just doesn't have the movement that it had earlier in the year.
Yeah, the ball, Francona said the ball's not carrying through the zone. It's not, he's not getting that, you know, that kind of, that little extra giddy up at the plate. Instead, it's going sideways. And I guess, the hitters are getting a better look at it. And, you know, he's also, you know, he's new to this. He's new to the relief role. He started so well, you know, this season that you thought he was infallible, that he's never going to make a mistake. But he's hit a road bump here, and he's got to get straightened out. You know, he had that eighth inning locked down, and now it looks like Karinchak is the guy, but he's not going to Toronto, so you know they're going to have to find somebody to replace him.
Does this change how Tito uses Morgan moving forward? I mean, last night you saw him. He was, if it was going to be a two-run lead in the ninth inning, they were probably going to go to Class A. But once they scored three times in the eighth, I think he sort of changed his tune and went with, you know, Karinchak in the bottom of the eighth, and then Morgan instead of Class A in the ninth. He eventually had to bring in Class A. Class A pitched for his third day in a row, so I got to imagine Class A is not going to be, or actually he had an off day. So it was third straight game for Class A. But does this change the way you use Morgan moving forward?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, obviously you got a 5-0 lead in the ninth. He brings him in there just to kind of get some work, you know, just to try to get that fastball, you know, straightened out. It didn't work, you know, and kind of another frustrating night for Morgan. The good thing is it didn't cost him a game, you know, because it very easily could have, you know, Eric Haas is up there, you know, mm-hmm. With the bases loaded, and could have changed that game, you know, significantly if he hit one out of the park. But, you know, Class A comes in, gets the one out save. But yeah, they got to get Morgan straightened out. They say he's healthy. You know, they say he's, you know, his velo is good. It's just that, you know, there's something mechanical going on where his pitches aren't doing what they were, you know, earlier in the season. And Joe, like we've talked about, he's a two-pitch pitcher too. So he's, you know, he's a fastball changeup guy. So if one pitch isn't working, you know what the hitters are looking for.
Yeah, he is trying to mix in some more sliders. We saw him in his outing last night try to throw a few more sliders to get at least a breaking pitch in there. But, you know, that's going to take time if he's going to really sort of devote himself to trying to add that as well. It's funny, you know, when Morgan screws up, more often than not, they still have a chance to win. You know, we saw him do that against Oakland, but he's come back and cost him a couple of games in this stretch where he's struggled. So it's tough. You've got to get him that confidence. I think confidence is the number one thing for him right now. If he goes out there confident, he's going to be effective. And just got to, like Tito said, he's got to fix that fastball. All right. Aaron Civale on the mound, like you said, tonight, a chance here to, you know, stay in first place, I guess, with the Dodgers and the Twins still playing out West. There are going to be opportunities here in the next couple of days to, you know, even extend that lead into first place. And then you go face the Mariners, who you're also chasing for a wild card spot.
Yeah, just really, you know, this is a good stretch here. You know, you've got, you know, two more against the Tigers, then you go to Toronto, and you know, you're going to face some tough competition, but you've got a chance here in Detroit. You've got a chance to at least stay even with the Twins, maybe even, you know, get your nose up, you know, take a one or a two game lead on first place, and you know, kind of keep the Twins and the White Sox in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, I said Mariners. I meant Blue Jays, but you know, whatever. It's early. All right, Hoynsie, we'll check back in with you. Day game tomorrow, so I think maybe we'll postpone until Friday, and make sure that you get across the border safely.
Yeah,
we'll check in with you hopefully from the Great White North.
Hopefully, I'm not swimming across the Detroit River here.
That's that would be a bit of a haul. So we'll check in with you again on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.